John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Paul wrote about to young Timothy about study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but handling aright or rightly dividing the word of truth. And so it's imperative that we understand that the word of God can be misapplied and mishandled and handled in a wrong manner. And oftentimes we consider this when we deal with friends and family members and coworkers who do not have the proper knowledge concerning the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And but oftentimes you'll see some folks that struggle with the New Testament as well, and not understanding the word of truth as they should. And many of these people, you have those who love the red letter edition. The red letter edition. There's even a song many years ago now, don't seem like that long ago. I think Brooks and Dunn, I live by the letters in red, about the words of Jesus. And some of the folks, one of the areas of this that you will see is, there are folks who are ignorant of the scriptures altogether, and they know about the Old Testament's prohibition against homosexuality that says it is an abomination. Well, it's not condemned in the New Testament. Well, you hadn't read the Apostle Paul then, had you? It is condemned in the New Testament. Yeah, but Jesus didn't say nothing about it. You ever heard anybody say that? I've heard them say it on debates on the news, on news stations. The liberal will say that Jesus didn't condemn it. And there you have that fundamental misunderstanding about the scriptures. And the letters in red. And what is that? And it's interesting though, if you think about it, these people who will point that out, I only pay attention to the letters in red. Well, what did people do before the letters in red? And I looked it up. I got curious. I said, when did this all start? And I found out, best of my knowledge, June 19th, 1899, a fellow named Lewis Clopas conceived the idea of having the words that Jesus actually said printed in red. And the first modern Bible, red letter Bible, was published in 1901. What did these poor folks do before? You know, how did they handle it? What would they have said about the letters in red before 19? Well, they wouldn't have said anything because it didn't exist. And so what we're going to look at today is, what about this idea that certain aspects of the New Testament people say, well, Jesus didn't say. He didn't condemn that, or he didn't say to do that and all this. That's not in the letters in red. Well, again, this is the idea of rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're going to begin reading in John 16 and verse 5, and we're going to see. Now, I understand to know, did Jesus, of course, when Jesus condemned fornication, that's inclusive of all sexual sins, all of it. But no, he did not actually come out with his words, the letters in red, and condemn homosexuality. But he did condemn it, and here's how we know that. Verse 5, Jesus said, the letters in red, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrows feed your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And this helper that Jesus is referring to previously is The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. And His job, His mission, He said, He will guide you into all truth. So Jesus did not reveal all the truth to these men while He walked the earth. But the Holy Spirit would come and do that very thing. For He will not speak of His own authority. This is huge. But whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. Look at verse 14. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. So, when you think about this, the Holy Spirit was going to not speak of His own authority, but He was just going to serve as a conduit, if you want to put it that way, where He would reveal to these men like Paul and others exactly what He wanted them to say and to write. So, while technically Jesus did not, that we have recorded, come right out and condemn homosexuality, He did condemn homosexuality when Paul directly came out and condemned it. Because Paul was not speaking of his own accord. He was speaking what the Holy Spirit and writing what the Holy Spirit told him to write. And those things that the Holy Spirit told Paul came from Jesus. In John 14, and in verse 25, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. He will teach you all things. He will guide you into all truth. He will take of what is Mine and give it unto you. So when you think about the letters in red, and you know, they can be helpful. I'm not condemning. If you have a red letter edition, don't go home and throw it in the trash. Because there's been many times that, if you're looking for a scripture and you know it's Jesus speaking, it can be helpful. Because you skip all the others. So there it is. Now the Bible I happen to have now is not a red letter edition, but it can be helpful. But the idea that people need to understand when they want to rightly divide the word of truth is that these words that these men wrote and spoke, who were the apostles, that is the words of Christ. That is Christ speaking through them. And that is the will of Christ, and it is the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse 37. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet, Paul said, or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you, what are they, he said? They are the commandments of the Lord. Paul defends it over and over. They're the commandments of the Lord. These are not my commandments. These are not my words, but they're the commandments of the Lord. So when Paul condemns anything, that's the Lord condemning that thing. When Paul approves of anything, that is the Lord approving. Galatians chapter 1. Look at verse 11. Well, I turned to Philippians. I thought that didn't look quite right. Okay, I'll find it here in a minute. Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of who? Of Jesus Christ. So there was no man that taught Paul other than the fact of, if you want to include the road to Damascus and Ananias going to him. But the gospel that he preached was not taught to him. He didn't receive it from a man. But he was taught it. He received it through the revelation of Jesus Christ. See? So when Paul condemns homosexuality in his letters to the Corinthians, in Romans, the book of Romans, That's a revelation of Jesus Christ. So don't let anybody, you know, they'll try every way possible to skew the issue and to defend certain sinful acts.
Well, Jesus didn't condemn it.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 3, Paul says, since you seek proof of Christ speaking in me, over and over, Paul attributes the words that he speaks and he writes to one source, Jesus Christ. But you know, when you think about that, they've got some explaining to do for some reason. Maybe I shouldn't have thought it, but I thought of I Love Lucy. Lucy, you got some explaining to do. Some folks got some explaining to do. They want to defend certain sinful acts by the idea that,
well, Jesus didn't speak them. They're not in the words in red.
But then what do they want to do? They want to teach things that are diametrically opposed to the letters in red. You can't have it both ways. You can't use the fact that Jesus didn't say anything against homosexuality. It's not in the letters in red. And then ignore other things that he did say that are in red. So let's look at a few of these things before we finish. Most people will be told by religious leaders that there's absolutely nothing that you have to do, no act of obedience in order to be saved. Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 7 and look at some letters in red. And see, did he really say? Is that in the letters in red that there's nothing for you to do that you have to obey? Well, Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now, wait a minute. You tell people that there's nothing you have to do to be saved. Jesus said, just because you say, Lord, Lord, doesn't mean you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but you've got to do the will. You've got to do the will. So it sounds to me like the letters in red are the opposite of what most people will say concerning salvation. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Three times. You notice that? All three times that he says, this is what people are going to say. They're going to question and proclaim that they have done all these things in your name. Or by his authority. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So the answer to that question is, Lord, have we not? And the answer is, no, you have not. You did not prophesy in my name. You did not cast out demons in my name. You did not do all the many wonders that you thought you did in my name. You did it outside of my name. Lawless. And that's one of the saddest scriptures, really, for all these people who thought they were doing all this wonderful work in the name of Jesus. He will say, I never knew you. All this time that they thought they were living for the Lord, they didn't live for Him 1 minute. I never knew you. And that's the letters in red. John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's the letters in red. Does that sound like Jesus doesn't expect you to obey him? That Jesus didn't give you anything to obey? Luke 6, 46, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? That doesn't sound like what so many people preach. That, there's nothing you have to do to be saved. There's no works. There's nothing. There's no commandments. That doesn't sound like that, does it? Matthew chapter 16. So many people. And this is an idea of things getting worse. And things always get worse. People that err from the truth, they generally don't have any stopping sense. They just keep going and going and going. And there used to be a time when there were religious debates. Even some of us are old enough to remember. And before my time, man, I mean, it was like all over the place. And these people from the Methodist Church and the Baptist, they were willing to stand up and say, we have the truth, you don't. And they were willing to send their best debaters and their best people who were most knowledgeable of their doctrine to defend it against anybody. Nobody debates anymore. The reason? It don't matter where you go. It don't matter. All that matters is we all believe in Jesus. We're all going to the same places, taking different roads. That don't sound like the letters in red to me. Does it you? Matthew 16, remember? When Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And some said John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah. And he said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. My church. Not many churches. My church. Jesus is the head of one body. There is one body, Ephesians 4, Ephesians 1. He is the head over the body, which is the church. This idea that there are hundreds, maybe thousands of different denominations, and that's God's will. Well, you can't find that in the letters in red. Matthew chapter 15. Let's begin reading in verse 7. Jesus describes these people, the scribes and Pharisees. He said, hypocrites. Well, does Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Any worship that is pro-offered unto God that is based upon the doctrines and commandments of men is vain worship. It matters. It matters whether our worship is according to the commandments of men and the traditions of men, or whether it is according to the Word of God. Verse 10, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this say? What did Jesus say? How did he reply? He said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. I looked up all kinds of commentary on that verse. And most of them agreed, believe it or not. But this one sounds pretty good. Any teaching, tradition, not established by the Father is destined for complete removal. That's pretty good. Because that's exactly what that means. He's not talking about plants. He used that as a metaphor. Every plant, every teaching, tradition, religious institution, person, not established by the Father is destined for complete removal. That's the letters in red. He said, let them alone. They are blind, leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. So, did Jesus really say, in the letters in red, I will accept all denominations, however many there may come to be. No, no, he kind of said right the opposite. So you see what people will try to do. They'll try to prove their point somehow that Jesus accepts sinful activities because it's not condemned in the letters in red, and then totally ignore the letters in red. What they say. John chapter 17. Does this sound like he supports all these various denominations? I don't think so. Beginning in verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. It's an amazing thought that every one of us ought to have every time we read that verse. While Jesus was in the garden, while he prayed for his disciples, those men that would carry that message, that he was praying for you and me. Because that's who he just said. I'm not going to pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. So he was praying for you right before his death. That's an amazing thought. But what was this prayer? That they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be perfect in one. And the world may know that you have sent me and you have loved them as you have loved me. I believe I counted 5 times in 3 verses that word one was used, and it's in the letters in red. That's Jesus. 5 times. One. Why would Jesus change? You know, I think it's the Hebrew that says, the letter that says Jesus is Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why would he change? Because if he now accepts all this division of people who claim to follow him, then he's going against what he prayed for right here. Because he prayed for them all to be one. As him and his Father are one. There's no dissension between God the Father and God the Son. There's no disagreements. There's no debates about various viewpoints, differing viewpoints. They are one. That's what he wanted his followers to be. And he hasn't changed. That's what he still wants his followers to be. United. And that's in red. And so for these people who want to put more weight to what Jesus said, and I'm not disrespecting what Jesus actually spoke while he was on this earth. I believe we've already proved based upon his own scriptures and the scriptures we read from written by the apostles that they acknowledge that this is not my word. These are the words of Jesus. So they're all the words in red. They're all the words of Jesus. And so, did Jesus teach in the letters in red that you didn't have to be baptized to be saved? Did he teach that? You think about it. I don't think people are going to use that same logic. The idea, well, you know, you read them 1 Peter 3:21, you read them Acts 2 in verse 38. Yeah, but what about the words in red? Okay. You want to go back to the words in red? We can do that. Mark chapter 16, of course. Verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. You cannot get a more easily constructed English sentence than that. Everybody knows what that word and is, even though you might not know what to call it. I think it's coordinating conjunction or something like that. But what it does is it joins two things together to the same end. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It's just that simple. You pull either one of those out and you can't have salvation. They're both necessary because of that word and. They're together. And that's the words in red. In Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Jesus came to them, spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." When you think about that, what people do with Mark 16 is that they seek to say, well, he didn't say he that believeth and is baptized not shall be condemned on the back end of that. That's how they try to explain away what he did say. Which is ludicrous, because why would you be baptized if you didn't believe? You wouldn't. I wouldn't. Never. I wouldn't go into a baptistry or a creek or a lake and get dunked underwater if I didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. It makes no sense. But how do you get around this one? How can this be unessential? How can it be? Now, that most denominations won't tell you that it's wrong to be baptized. They won't do that. And they most would probably encourage you need to do this, but it's not essential. But look whose name is associated with this baptism. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That kind of sounds like that might be important. Does that kind of sound to you like that would be something that you could just ignore and just disregard? And that you could stand up in front of hundreds, thousands of people and say, hey, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. It's not essential. But it's in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's not essential. I mean, hear that. It's in the name of, it's not essential. Basically, I don't care whose name it's in, it's not essential. Man, that takes some boldness, doesn't it? Or some may say, that takes some foolishness. You're going to attribute something, and you're going to put God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit's name on it, but it's not essential. I think that's a very dangerous way to look at things. But these are the letters in red. These are the letters in red. Jesus was asked a question in Matthew 21, verses 23 through 27 about where do you get this authority to do these things? And who gave you this authority, remember? And Jesus said, I tell you what, I'll ask you a question, you answer it, I'll answer yours. The baptism of John, where did it come from heaven or me? So that was a powerful question. And of course, we know what they said. Well, if we say from men, they fear the people, because the people consider John to be a prophet. If we say from heaven, well, why didn't you believe it? And they said, we don't know. But the point here, the idea of baptism, whether it be John's, which has really only been in the sense of immersion in water in this sense, there's only been two baptisms, the baptisms of John and the baptism that is commanded by Jesus. And we know that there were some believers in Jesus that had only been baptized in John, and in John's baptism, they were rebaptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not important. Why rebaptize anybody? But Jesus, where did John's baptism come from? Well, Jesus knew where it come from. From heaven. Where does Jesus' baptism come from? The baptism in his name. It's mandated by heaven. How can you say it's unessential and feel safe with yourself? I don't know how they do it. Well, I guess I know it's all they've ever heard. All they ever heard, and they will not move away from that. Because they really believe that's true. But, you know, they got the opportunity to read and study just like anybody else. And they could look at these words in red and they could see, oh, wait a minute, the baptism of heaven from John was from heaven. Then it must be that the baptism of Jesus from heaven. How can I ignore it and say that I ought not to do it or that it's not essential? How can I say that? And Jesus said to baptize people in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How can I take that directive and just flippantly say, well, you ought to do it, but it's not essential to salvation. It's not essential to salvation. Well, these are the words in red. And if people want to use that, well, I usually pay attention to the words in red. I don't much, I don't care what Peter said over there in 1 Peter 3:21. I don't really care what Luke wrote, you know, in the book of Acts. I'll pretty much stick with the words in red. I think if I do that, I'll be all right. Well, you will be. You're going to have to quit ignoring these verses that we just read because they're in red. But you'll be better off when you understand and can rightly divide the word of truth that when Peter spoke, he spoke as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? When Paul spoke or wrote, he did so as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So don't disregard the words of Paul and Peter and others, James and John and others that wrote many of the epistles. Don't disregard them as unnecessary because they're not in red. Because it's all the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what did Paul say about that? What did he say about the gospel? He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And it's all his gospel message. Letters in red, letters in black, you can color them any color you want. That New Testament is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have to adhere and obey all of it. We can't ignore any of it. So maybe this lesson will help if you deal with folks like that from time to time, because there's a lot of them out there, I believe, that really sincerely think they don't have to pay attention to Paul or Peter or James or John or Luke in the book of Acts. All we got is the words in red. Need to maybe help them out, help them to understand. As always, we want to say that if anyone's here stands in need of prayer, then this is certainly something that we can avail ourselves to as brothers and sisters in Christ. That when we struggle and when we fall, that we can, of course, seek the Lord's help and forgiveness first, but also to seek out our brethren to pray for us and help us along the way. If there's anything we can do to help anybody today, we encourage you to come forward, come together, we stand and sing.